Good morning, and it's Earth Day, another day to love Mother Earth. And we're starting with some vintage Earth Mum from April 2012. And then we'll go to our special guest, Josh Fox.
Welcome to Earth Mum's Green Cabaret.
This is Brian Wilson. I want everyone to know that every day is Earth Day.
And this is Al Jardine, Helena from the Beach Boys. And I want to reiterate what Brian said about Earth Day. It's very important for all of us to be aware of our planet and the ecology, and keeping our planet safe for future generations.
I was out in a boat that was gently afloat when the wind started blowing on me. When the wind starts blowing, you better get going. You don't fight the sea.
Don't fight the sea.
Don't fight the sea.
Don't fight the sea.
I went onto the shore. I couldn't see anymore. And I tied my boat to a tree. I was messing around when the tide was down. You know you.
Coming in, the fog's closing in over me. My blood's running cold, 'cause my life is on hold. 4 years I've been adrift on the sea.
Don't fight the sea. Hello, it's Earth Mom, and those were the Beach Boys with Don't Fight the Sea, and it's from Al Jardine's new album entitled Postcards from California. Next, I want to bring to you John Easdale with the band Dramarama. John told me that he wrote the song, What Are We Gonna Do, after his first daughter was born, and the band was at a rock and roll concert for Earth Day in the late 80s, and at the end of the concert, he looked out, and the whole area was just full of trash, and that got him very sad, thinking about the world he was going to leave to this little girl. So you'll hear a little baby's laugh at the beginning of the song, and that's his daughter. The melody started out as a lullaby, and then after the concert, John wrote the words to it.
It's April 21st, and everybody knows today is Earth Day. Merry Christmas, happy birthday to whoever's being born. And now I'm trying hard to think of something meaningful and worthy, kind of earthy, to make everybody ask themselves just, what are we doing here? And what are we doing to her? I don't know. What are we gonna do? What are we gonna do? It's April 21st, and everybody knows today is Earth Day. Merry Christmas, happy birthday to whoever's being.
That was Dramarama with What Are We Gonna Do? And you can find Dramarama on Facebook, and they're going to be touring here. They'll be at the Bonnaroo Festival in Asbury Park on May 20th. Now, one festival inspired a sad song, but there's an upside to this. The Clearwater Festival is inspiring many to be clean, green, and happy. So let's talk to MJ Wilson, the Zero Waste co-coordinator of the Clearwater Festival and also the master composter and recycler of Westchester County, MJ Wilson. I was fortunate enough to meet MJ last year at the Clearwater Festival, and I was so impressed with the festival's Zero Waste initiative. MJ, welcome to WBAI on Mother Earth Day.
Thank you very much, and I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to speak about what we do at the festival and about zero waste. I really, it's a great option and a great opportunity.
Oh, you're so welcome, so very welcome. So you've been with the festival 3 years now, yeah?
This is going to be my third year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first year where we had set up and planned to collect compostable material from throughout the grounds. And what I mean by that is we set up on the festival grounds zero waste stations, and we had three collection bins. And one was a bin for all biodegradable materials.
Mm-hmm.
The other was for recycled.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third was for things that we couldn't do anything with at the festival, and so we had to treat it as trash.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And for the compostables, we made sure that all the food vendors at the festival had signed contracts where they would bring in biodegradable materials for their, the serviceware, the plates, and the cups.
Oh, beautiful. So all the disposables were really compostable.
Correct.
So forks, spoons, knives. Yeah.
Yes. And what was different about this, or unusual, most people are familiar with home composting, but this was going to a professional composting facility, so they could take everything.
Oh, beautiful.
They could take the wood, the kebab sticks. They could even take the leftover kebab meat.
All right.
And they could take, dairy and cheese. Mm-hmm. Anything that they tell you not to put on your home compost, they could take.
Oh, that is gorgeous.
So we were so successful, we ran out of collection containers for the compostable materials. And then the following year, what we did for 2011, we even had more containers, and we used up even more.
Wow.
And last year, what was also cool is that it was the first year where Westchester County was recycling the plastics 1 through 7.
And, zero waste is more than a buzzword, but I don't know that everyone in the audience really knows what it is. Would you explain exactly what we mean by zero waste?
The committee started out as litter picking. Then it went to litter picking recycling.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we added collecting the biodegradable material as a part of the committee's responsibility, we advocated to have it changed to the title Zero Waste. And the idea about that is that, and it's an aspirational committee name. We would love to not waste anything, but it is a public festival, and it's a large festival.
How large is it?
Well, last year we had record attendance, and it was approximately 15,000 people.
Oh, that's a lot of people.
A lot of people in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to pull out of the waste stream approximately 10,000 pounds of biodegradable material.
Mm, that's gorgeous.
And if we did not have the compost collection at the zero waste station, that would have gone into the trash. So not only would you have had to... You would have wasted material that would turn into good compost, which would then re-nurture the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There was the expense of collecting it and trucking it and burning it.
And, let me ask you, too, for zero waste, I mean, if an individual wants to really practice zero waste, I mean, it would be like even carrying your lunch to work in a reusable bag and bringing your own utensils to work so you always have them and you don't have to get utensils. And if you take out to really be on top of that, I mean, it is an aspiration, and sometimes it actually happens.
Well, it is a challenging thing in this society and in this culture.
Our throwaway society, yeah.
Yeah, and so I have my little plastic. I've got two different sets of plastic utensils that I rotate that I carry in my bag with me at all times.
Yep.
And to do zero waste correctly, it's really like dancing the three R's. The primary thing is to reduce consumption.
Yes.
And then if you are going to take something, buy it, consume, obtain it, whatever, to reduce what you waste of it. Don't take more food than you're going to than you think you're going to eat.
Yeah.
Don't take, you know, I go to the grocery store and I see people coming out with double-lined plastic bags, and there's only 3 items per plastic bag. So think through the full life cycle. To me, that's a part of the thing that really inspires and drives me. It's like, where did that stuff come from? How am I going to use it? And when I'm done with it, where is it going to go?
Yep.
Because there is no away. So at the festival, you know, we do as best we can with thinking through every possible component. The signs that we use at the festival, almost all of those are used year after year. And all of the gear at the festival, the cords and the lamps and the lights and the tables and everything, they pack them away and they use them year after year after year. So if you are going to buy something, get as much mileage out of it as possible.
Yeah.
And once you're done, be responsible about where it goes after it leaves your hands.
And what are your plans for 2012? Do you have like a goal that you're going toward as far as recycling and for this year?
Well, given the fact that every year is so different, the number of people are different, mm-hmm. the weather is different, the skill level of the volunteers are different. This year, what we some of the improvements that we do have that we'll be implementing is that we will not be required to truck our material to Ithaca, because in the previous years that was the only place we could get that would take it, because commercial composting facilities are rare. It's hard to find places that will accept food material.
Yeah.
So this year, Will Solomon, who's the assistant festival director, was able to make an agreement with a facility in Rockland. So we've significantly reduced our carbon footprint by the less miles that it's going to have to be trucked. So we're happy about that. And also one of the things for the Zero Waste team, what we do is we don't just help collect stuff, but we are public educators and we're sort of ambassadors. And we have team members at every station. And sometimes we have some really, really fruitful conversations with people, because people, a lot of the people at the festival really want to understand what is the best way to reduce waste.
Yes. So now you're looking for some volunteers for this year, yeah?
Yeah, we are.
Okay. So Clearwater this year is when?
Clearwater is June 16th and 17th.
Mm-hmm. Over the weekend, Saturday, Sunday.
And it's usually that's the Father's Day mm-hmm. weekend. And it's at Croton Point Park. But as a part of the volunteer fee, you also get free camping, and it's a fun thing to volunteer. It really is. So you can go to the festival website, which mm-hmm. is www.clearwaterfestival.org. And the first thing you'll see is the list of all of the great acts that are going to be there, and they've got an impressive lineup this year.
As always.
Yes, they do. They're getting better and better, and you can't think they can get better, but they are. And then there is, on the left-hand side of the webpage, there's a link for volunteering, and it gives you the information on how to volunteer.
Okay.
Now, just as a kind of a cute thing, is that the Clearwater staff reached out to some people, some of the artists, because some of the artists have a really long history with the Clearwater Festival. And Toshi Regan, who is the daughter of Bernice Johnson Regan, I think she was the founder of Sweet Honey in the Rock.
Mm.
Toshi responded back to Clearwater and said, "My first gig at Clearwater was as a litter picker. Now I come as a singer. I'm not sure which is more fun."
That is so gorgeous.
No, I just love that.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And that's great. And, you know, I'm curious, when do you, like, you finished last year, right? And then when did you begin planning for 2012? Or is it just something that is continuous and doesn't stop?
As a coordinator.
Yeah.
I am a member of the Revival Planning Committee,
mm-hmm.
and the Revival Planning Committee meets once a month, pretty much every month. I think
yeah.
we take July off, I think. And so there's a lot of time and thought that goes into the festival, and generally what we do is we do a post-festival review, like what worked, what didn't work,
mm-hmm.
how can we improve things.
Well, we're going to really look forward to Clearwater this year, being there, and how environmentally responsible the whole festival is. I mean, it's green, and there's music, and people are nice, and it's just heaven up there.
And it is, the festival is a celebration of the river and of the Hudson River Valley.
Mm-hmm.
and of people who really do care about the quality of the environment.
And of Mother Earth, it really is, because there's such respect for the earth there. It's beautiful.
Yes.
So if you want to volunteer, if you want to go to the festival, go to clearwaterfestival.org. And for those of you that haven't made it up there yet, you won't be disappointed. You'll be really happy. It is a marvelous weekend. And I saw MJ in action last year, and her passion and skill just is very clear as she's working and just working so hard to make this as green as possible. Thanks, MJ.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for your support, and thank you for your interest, and thank you for your passion.
You're so welcome. Now, the last thing that I really want to share with you is one of my favorite children's picture books. You can't see it, but if you could, you'd be amazed. It's a very beautiful book by the author and artist Shim Schimmel. The excerpt is going to be read by Cynthia Lopez. This book is so special because it's a letter to children of the earth from Mother Earth. And the book teaches that we are all one, that we are all one big family here, and that our animal friends are our brothers and our sisters. And in the Native American, it's to all my relations. The trees are alive. The rocks are alive. Everything is alive with life. And I think basically all of us need to learn that and to come in to love and respect each other and always to respect our Mother Earth. Now, before we go to Cynthia, I just want to thank the engineers, Reggie, Sean, Max, and Uncle Sydney, for helping me put this together. And also the sound that you are hearing in the background is the sound of the Earth Gong by Gong Master Don Conroe. And please remember, every day is Mother Earth Day. It's not one day a year that we pay her homage. It's each and every day. Namaste.
Dear children of Mother Earth, I'm writing this letter to ask for your help. Do you know who I am? I am the planet Earth. But I'm much more than just a planet. I am your home. I am your Mother Earth. And just like you, there's only one of me. So I'm very special. I need to be loved and cared for, just like you. Let me tell you more about myself. I am the boulders and trees you love to climb. I'm the wet sand at the beach that squishes under your feet. I am the grass you lie down on when you look up at my clouds. I'm the rivers and lakes and oceans you love to swim in. I'm the cool green forests, the hot red deserts, and the cold white glaciers. I love to hug you with my warm sunshine, tickle you with my wind, and kiss you with my rain. All the animals that live in me are your brothers and sisters. We're all one big family.
In these days of crazy weather, climates change and ice caps sever, maybe we ought to get together and make some waves, and make some waves at the Green Cabaret.
pictures, guaranteed to make you smile. Step right in, stay a while, join the fray. Down at the Green Cabaret. Wanna make some waves, you make some.
I listened for a long, long time, from Democracy Now! To the late and great Armand DeMille. I'm really appreciative on the fact that I'm on the Revolutionary Radio Station right now in New York City. I'm Josh Fox, and you're listening to WBAI in New York City, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org, Revolution Radio.
And here's Josh Fox.
Josh Fox, Gasland, Parts 1 and 2, is an internationally recognized spokesperson on fracking and extreme energy development. He was awarded his third Environmental Media Association Award for Best Documentary for his film, How to Let Go of the World and Love All Things Climate Can't Change, which premiered at the Sundance Festival and was released on HBO and toured the world theatrically. Fox is the producing artistic director of International WOW, a film and theater company he founded in 1996. The theater company has performed across the U.S., Europe, and Asia. As a journalist, Fox has contributed to Rolling Stone, Daily Beast, and the online network Now This. One of his recent Now This Standing Rock reports reached over 40 million people. Welcome, Josh Fox.
Hey, how are you?
I'm nice really good. Yeah, it's so great to have you. We had talked about this a while ago, and I hope you'll come on many times. But right now, the business at hand is Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock.
And That's right.
Yeah, and I'm so psyched about this. I got to watch it yesterday, really liked it. Was absolutely thrilled with the opening, all the water. It was really, really good.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Thank you.
It's co-directed with you, and please tell me if I'm saying his name correctly, James Spione?
Spione. Yeah, there's three directors on the project. Mm-hmm. Myself, James Spione, who's a wonderful Oscar-nominated documentarian who made a great film called Silence, then another film called Incident at New Baghdad, which was very controversial. And the third director on the project is Myron Dewey, who's an indigenous filmmaker that was at Standing Rock for 4 months, and you might know him from his Facebook page, Digital Smoke Signals, which did live reporting and drones and live streaming from Standing Rock during the entire time. And, you know, so we all three of us as filmmakers had different intersection points of being at Standing Rock. And what I, you know, as a producer wanted to do was get a project together as fast as I could, because I wanted something to go out there and cap, you know, like continue the momentum of the Standing Rock moment in the very beginning of the Trump administration, because we are facing huge opposition right now, obviously, from that fascist Trump administration that is pushing forward the pipeline against the will of the people. So, you know, the idea was at first, all right, well, let's see if we can collaborate so we can make something faster. But then it realized, no, actually, this isn't just about making this faster. This is the best way to do this, because no one person can tell the story of Standing Rock. You know, that's a very complex tale. And I don't even think one movie can do it. But our movie is one film that has three or four different perspectives embedded inside of it. You know, and I think that that really helps give a picture of what it was like to be there.
It does. It does indeed. And when you went to Standing Rock, did you go with the idea that you were going to get footage and make a film or...
Well, no. I was kind of just compelled to be there because of the real deep importance of what was happening there. My films, Gasland and Gasland Part 2, are the films about fracking, that brought fracking to world attention. And that, the reason why I made that film or those films is because I was a part of the frontline community fighting fracking. And, we worked with those films to really create awareness on the issue and push forward the movement. And so, I went to Standing Rock because I had started to become involved with the movement early on in August.
Yes.
When Shailene Woodley asked me to do a rally with her. Shailene was a phenomenal advocate for Standing Rock, and I knew her because we were Bernie Sanders surrogates together on the campaign trail. She asked me to come and, do a speech at Union Square, while the water protectors were running from, city to city, gathering awareness for what they're for the problem.
Yeah.
So, I've been involved with it since August, but I hadn't gotten out to Standing Rock until November. And when I got there, it was right really when there was just an enormous amount of police crackdown, police violence. It was an extraordinarily difficult situation because we had so many, really violent attacks by the police on peaceful water protectors who were simply praying and trying to defend that sovereign land.
Mm-hmm. And unarmed,
through peaceful, nonviolent direct action.
Yeah.
It was a very harrowing time to be there, but also extremely important in terms of witnessing what was, going on at Standing Rock.
Yeah, that was a really rough time because I left in early November, and it just seemed after that, well, even like late October when they took down the 1851 treaty camp, and then they kept escalating and escalating until November, they were out of control. And you've got a lot of that footage.
And, they were out of control from the beginning. And
well, yes.
The film really shows, the film is called Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock. And the reason why it's called that is because it really is a dreamscape. It does give you this very dreamlike way of being at the camps and sort of waking up to that reality. And when I was first working on the project with co-writer and subject, Florice White Bull, who was one of the first people that I met at Standing Rock, and will be with us in New York at our premiere on Saturday. She had just been through the raid at the 1851 at the treaty camp.
Yep.
And that she had been thrown into a jail cell, which was like she described them as dog kennels. A lot of the water protectors and elders and being very abusive, and a lot of people were maced and beaten and shot off of horses with rubber bullets. One of the horses actually died. And she was traumatized. And I made an interview with her in a short video that went on the internet on Now This, and it went to 32 million views inside of a week. And it was like this crazy experience of, just showing up, and then all of a sudden, this incredible virality of that interview. We spent the next week documenting her and other water protectors as they were defending the land and taking part in all these different actions. And some of those actions were quite brutal. I mean,
yes.
You could see this incredible culture of water protection, which is, imbued with peace and justice and a sense of prayer and protecting
love.
The land.
Yeah.
And then you see the culture of the police, which is, oh, my God, like the nameless, faceless military occupation. And I say nameless and faceless deliberately because were not allowed to, they were allowed to not wear name tags.
Mm-hmm,
These
mm-hmm.
police officers did not have name tags on their uniforms, which to me should be illegal. I don't see how you're a police officer, a uniformed police officer, without a name tag on. And then they were wearing blast shield helmets, so you couldn't see their faces. So these people were doing violence to you and doing violence to your friends and doing violence to Native American elders. And yet they were not brave enough they were cowardly in the sense that they would not reveal their own identities and stand up for what they themselves were doing. It was very, very disturbing to see that.
Yeah.
So I felt very compelled to get as much footage as I could, do as many interviews as I could, and make an impact on the situation. A lot of that was through reporting on the scene. Like I did a few articles, one for Rolling Stone, one for the Daily Beast, and I did several viral video pieces, about 8 of them, for Now This, which had a cumulative of something like 40, 50 million views. So the word was getting out. But this long-form documentary, making a film, it's a different story. So we are able to go deeper into things, deeper into the emotions of what it was like to be there, deeper into the sounds and the sights. And like I said, that's why it's called Awake, because the idea when we first talked, Clarice and I, was what if, the last 500 years of quote-unquote civilization was just a bad dream. And you woke up, Adochetti Sakoan, as if like the reality of our communal existence on the planet had been restored.
That's brilliant.
So that's the feeling of the film. The feeling of the film is waking up in this beautiful reality of the culture of the water protectors, which of course mimics in many ways those Native American values and espouses those values.
Yeah.
And then, almost to say, what if this whole last 500 years was just a bad dream that you just woke up from?
That's
kind of the internal logic of the film.
That is so excellent, just that whole take on it, because that's what it was like. It was living in this peaceful coexistence with everyone, for everyone, as opposed to living separate from people and who's going to get ahead. No, it was doing together and for each other.
Right.
And yeah, you hit the nail on the head with that. Let's
talk. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's talk a little bit about this worldwide release online on Mother Earth Day. Then I want to go back to the film. But I'm really excited about this.
Well, okay, great. Yeah, so my previous films have all been on HBO. We've had a great partner with them because they can release things, into 40 million homes in ways that we would never be able to reach those kind of people. But at the same time, my films have had a very grassroots existence. We've toured them all across the nation. I've toured to 400 different cities in America and more than that internationally. And we've done those screenings for free, in support of the movement, in support of people who were against fracking, people who were, fighting the oil companies, in their own backyards. And so for this release, because it's so quick and we wanted to get it out quickly, we wanted to have this be of the moment. HBO, a lot of the traditional distribution channels, they want 6 months to prepare.
Sure.
They want a year to put the film out. We didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. So we decided we're going to do this on our own, and we're going to ramp up sort of our grassroots abilities with the film. So we wanted to make it directly available to people, all across the world. Mm-hmm. At our website, a donate what you can model. So, like, if you remember, Radiohead many years ago said, "Well, pay what you can for our record. You can fill in the price, whatever you think it's worth." That's kind of our deal with this. So you can pay anywhere between $1 and I think it's like $200 to stream the film for 3 days and show it. That 100% of that money goes back to the movement. So. We didn't feel as directors that we wanted to accept any profit from this movie.
Yep.
Obviously the movie, costs money, but we raised that money from donations. So we didn't feel like we should profit from it. So we're putting 100% of the proceeds towards the movement. And the different aspects of that are we're building an Indigenous Media Fund. And that is something which would encourage Indigenous filmmakers and Indigenous reporters and support that activity as much as we can. And there's a council of the filmmakers and people from Standing Rock who are administering that fund. There's a pipeline fighters fund, so we go ahead. We know we got a lot of pipeline battles on our hands. We've got AIM pipeline in New York. We've got the Atlantic Sunrise pipeline in New Jersey and the Sable Trans pipeline in Florida and pipelines all across the world, across the nation.
Yeah.
I mean, so we're fighting Keystone XL. So we're putting some of that money into fighting pipelines. We're also trying to support the Freshet Collective. We're encouraging people through our website to donate to the Freshet Collective. That is the legal fund for water protectors, and also to, very, very importantly, to the Lakota Way Healing Center, and that's lakotaway.org, lakotaway.org. That's a Native American spiritual healing center. A lot of water protectors have PTSD because of these battles. I mean, you think of PTSD as something that soldiers have, right?
But
water protectors, which are warriors of peace, you know, they were brutalized. A lot of us had got beat up. A lot of people got arrested. A lot of people had really severe trauma because of the police actions. And so those folks need mental health care right now. And what better way to do that than working with, Doug Goodfeather, who is a leader from Standing Rock. He's also in our film, and he's a practitioner of that type of spiritual healing and using their own healing ceremonies. So we're trying to get people's attention towards that need as well.
This is wonderful what you're doing. It really is. So give us the website for everybody to go to watch this.
Oh, easy. Okay. AwakeTheFilm.org. So AwakeTheFilm.org. We're a nonprofit. And you go there, you can watch the trailer, you can pre-order the film. You can't watch it until April 22nd, but you can order it now, and it's open now. And I believe that for the first month of our having the film out, we're having that donate what you can sliding scale, get the film out all across the world. This is what we want to do, you know. So for us, like, this is a labor of love. I've been working on this film, I guess it's now like, since November, however long it is, 6 months, really quick.
Yeah.
But it's a long time
yeah.
for us to be donating our time to do this. So we really want to make sure that this comes out with a big bang and that we have made an impact, because I believe that this film will inspire, I know that we're facing tough times right now as environmentalists, as justice campaigners. We really are in. Things are going really badly. Like, we have Donald Trump in the White House. We have the head of ExxonMobil is our Secretary of State. I could go on and on about how bad things are. Mm. But one thing that isn't bad, and one thing that will inspire you, is when you watch these kids, these water protectors, and when you watch these elders, these incredible people at Standing Rock, I challenge you not to feel inspired by what you see there.
Right.
I mean, it will wake you back up. It will re-inspire you. It will get you ready for those battles that we know that we have to continue to wage. Because the truth is, there will be no Earth if we don't win.
Yeah.
We have to win the battle for climate change. There'll be an Earth. There just won't be people on
Earth. Exactly. She'll say,
There will be no civilization. We will have chaos, because we know that climate change can promote total chaos on this planet. And so we have to have values. Those values are in the film. We have to have resistance. The way that resistance works is in the film. And that's why I felt so adamant about bringing it out.
Thank you for doing that. And, I was watching particularly Myron's parts, and with the police officers and the state troopers being so dismissive with him, and, not giving him the information about the subpoena or anything, just, you can go now, you can go, is like, really? And even from being there, the disparity in the way they treated, they being the people from that area, treated the Native American people, it was ridiculous. One person would be taken to court, two people at the same place doing the same thing. The white guy gets one count, the Native guy gets four counts against him. It's crazy stuff.
Well, I mean, we do see a lot of that inherent racism and inherent injustice in the system. I mean, the media characterized, the police characterized the protesters as rioters.
Yes,
and
terrorists.
The media quoted the police
yeah.
for the most part. I mean, and that's part of this movie. This movie is also correcting, the myopic dystopian bias of the mainstream media. And, you know, I must say, first of all, I'm very happy to be on WBAI. I've been a WBAI listener for a long, long time, you know, from Democracy Now! to the late and great Armand DeMille.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really appreciative on the fact that I'm on the revolutionary radio station right now in New York City. The truth is that, you know, the media got it wrong in Standing Rock. When they even bothered to show up, you know,
yeah.
What I mean? First we were clamoring for them to show up, and then they showed up and they got it wrong. So, you know, I mean, it's important that independent documentarians, you know, from the activist tradition and especially from the indigenous world, you know, are telling these stories, and we support that not only with this film but with future films that are coming out on Standing Rock. Like I said, no one film, no one person could tell the story of Standing Rock.
No.
But this is, you know, one film that incorporates several different people's take and philosophy. And I think that there's something valid to it. So we want people to check it out.
And so give us the website again.
Yeah, it's awakethefilm.org. And the way it works is a little bit unique. We've kind of combined the old Radiohead model where you could pay what you can. With the sort of Louis C.K. model of direct to the public. So you know, go there. You can donate any amount over a dollar. And a dollar is fine. There's no need to feel bad about a dollar. We're fine with a dollar.
I mean, Bernie, hey, $2.
You know, anywhere between a dollar and $200, you donate it and you get to watch the movie. Starting Saturday, birthday, which is very, very important day in our calendar. And I also must say, because you know, that this is, it's ironic that this day is also the anniversary in many ways of the BP oil spill, one of the greatest catastrophes that we've ever suffered. And we always have to remember that oil and gas and water don't mix. And we whether that's fracking or pipelines or huge offshore rigs, you know, we have to wean ourselves off of oil, period, if we want to have a future on this planet.
Josh Fox, you're awesome. And you are at a live premiere of the film at the Tribeca Film Festival, are you not, with Myron Dewey of Digital Smoke Signals and with James, yes? Three of you?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, at the premiere on Saturday night, it's going to be pretty star-studded, an amazing event. We have a few celebrity guests that are going to pop in. I don't want to announce who they are so far, but there's going to be some awesome people there who have been strong advocates of Standing Rock in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the two directors, in addition to me, Myron Dewey and James Spion, will be there, as well as several subjects from the film. Fleurice Whitebull, who is the co-writer of the movie, of at least of my section of the movie, with me. She will be there. She's a remarkable person, an incredible presence. So she'll be at the premiere on Standing Rock. And people can watch that premiere on our various live streams. I know it will be live streamed from Our Revolution. It'll be live streamed from the People for Bernie, and we'll probably have some other live streams as well.
Oh, super duper.
So, you know, we're gonna that is gonna be an exciting event in all of itself. Mika C. Camp, who's another water protector, will be with us on that evening, and Doug Goodfeather, who's our executive producer and head of the Lakota Way Healing Center, we'll be doing the opening prayer. So I'm really excited about what's going to happen at Tribeca. So tune into that live stream. It's sold out right now, but tune into that live stream. But, you know, look, we want all this movement, activity, and excitement out there for people, you know.
Yep.
We want to be there to inform and to inspire and to activate, to educate. And that's what these movies are about. But let me tell you, the truth is, like, if I was a filmmaker that only did, like, political work, nobody would watch my movies. The movie, I have to say, watching the other director's work, having had this incredible experience of being able to co-write with Fleurice Whitebull, it's a really good movie. It's not just, you know, it's not just some kind of stale report on Standing Rock. This is a dreamlike film. This film is extremely emotional. And it has beautiful, beautiful people in it. I mean, I think the way that the water protectors explain their philosophy in the film really gets you excited and really gets you fired up.
Yep, to the heart, totally. And Myron, and I love his drones. I mean, I remember when he was like launching them from up on Facebook Hill. Yeah, and that really makes it. Give us the website one more time. I want everybody to know about this.
Absolutely, thank you. Awakethefilm.org. Mm-hmm. And like we said, we didn't want to wait on mainstream distribution, although that's a very powerful tool, and I love my distributors in the past. We decided to go with this film to be a little bit disruptive to that model, to the mainstream model, to put it out to us on our own through our nonprofit, with all the proceeds being donations directly going towards the movement. So at awakethisfilm.org, which is our website, you can do that and get the movie. But so you can pre-order it now, I believe. But I think that it's not out until it's not open to the public until the 22nd on Earth Day. So
okay.
you can make your order now, but you can get it. You'll be making your viewing on Earth Day. And I want to suggest that people should watch this movie with friends. You know,
yeah,
they should watch it. Not alone. You know, I mean, I think this is a movie that really, you know, people you'll want to discuss it with your friends afterwards.
Your group,
afterwards. And the best way to do that is with a group of people.
Yep, agree. Josh Fox, we're out of time, but I love you. I love your enthusiasm. You walk, you
Thank
talk.
You.
You can always see you at any different event and rally in New York City or wherever you are. And BAI supports you and we want you back.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm so excited and happy to be on BAI and carry on and appreciate the coverage.
Our good pleasure. Later. Thank you.
Later.
Thank you, Josh Fox. Go see, go stream, Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock. And the website is awakethefilm.org. Thank you, Jim Allen, for writing and performing down at the Green Cabaret. Thank you, Reggie Johnson, for the pre-record help. And, as always, thank you, Sean Rhodes. Until next time, see you later, guys.
Say that once you knew for sure, now you're walking in the shore to wonder. The more you learn, the less you know. The more you move, the more you go to nowhere. Ask a bird as she flies by just where she's at, and she says where the wind blows. Ask her by that what she means, she says she doesn't know, but as she flew away, she seemed to say the wind. Blow.